In fact, the first few times that we went through, he wasn't there b'chlal. He says, go in, see whatever you want, and let me know if you have any orders. And that's what we did. We went in ourselves without him b'chlal. And we asked him, we spoke to the mashgiach. I spoke to the mashgiach, one of the guys. I said, look, you're in shteirot over here. You see what the bedatz does, you see the charlap things. Tell us. Lamai said, we'll have to call. We won't get back to either of them. Right? Tell me, what, you know, you see a difference between them. You see, would you trust charlap? You're the mashgiach, right? You know what goes on here. Right? You see things that, he said, no, you don't see any difference. You trust the guy. What do you see?
He's for both of them.
He's for both of them.
Where is he?
Shteirot. But by a younger man, very nice guy, Svardi. He's a mashgiach for both of them. I asked him, do you ever see things, you know, that you're choshish, you know, it looks like, you know, things come in or whatever.
Yeah, because it's together. There, it's the same standard of kashas.
No, but it's not, because the Vedanta doesn't give on certain things.
And this also there, also
in Shteirot. Certain things the Vedanta doesn't give on, right? And Chalap does. And he's the mashgiach for Chalap on the things that the Vedanta doesn't give. They ask me, you know what goes on with these products or whatever. Right? I know why the Vedats won't give to certain things, and I know that it's chumras that we don't hold from, whatever. Right? Certain ingredients the Vedats won't accept, we accept them. Okay? I asked him, Lamaisa, aside from that, do you see any difference? Right? And what, you know? No. He said, you see, Chalap is very matter. Right? There, and speak to him, he's about. He said he wouldn't. That's one of the things we Dafka went to check. People who know what's going on inside, who would tell us. And that's what I heard from Yitzchak. And there are things that this mashgiach told me also, that would say that we're low-hearted, low-hearted. So what's it called? It was told to us that Chalap has no mashgiach for klal and shteirot. It's only the badat, and he has nothing on his thing. What should he told? Not true. He works for both of them. He pays for both of them. Chalap calls him all the time, tells him what to do, or whatever. Is that true? Not true. So he said, well, maybe it's just now. No, it was always like that. And yet we were told, b'feirish, right? The guy only works for badat, it's nothing to do with Chalap, it's not what's it called. But much gay, I was going to check my halak, it goes from here. So, you know, it's what's it called. Not only that, he was be'ikr for halak. and the vedats, they made, halak made a deal, that why you got another mashgiach, use the same guy. And they said, yeah, fine, I don't know. No, he used their guy, or whatever. See, I think he was hired, l'chatchila, by the vedats. But it was what's it called? But it was always a thing. So I had a mashgiach tells me this, Osem tells me this, and then I hear what's called chlor from someone else, right? Who also I trust. So it tells me it's not like that. It's not. So what the emes is? It is like that. And he heard a shmua that it's not like that. Right? I never tried to check that out or whatever, and that's it. There's a lot of reason why there's ill feeling too. And Mamela, you know, that not that people do bekavana, but once you don't like somebody or whatever, Mamela, every little thing becomes a big thing. And after that, it becomes like, you know, the double portion that the guy is no good. And Mamela, nothing could be good, so if you hear a little shmur, it's not ever.
Is it kina sofim or more than that?
It's much more than that. There's people's parnassus involved. But Reuben's parnassus is also involved in the OU and Osen. There's no hasoka what it was when the Osem decided to change the Chavke. There was mamish, it was like a war.
It was just an economic challenge.
And for them, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was more an economic challenge. They couldn't get along with the people who represented the OU here. They just didn't handle it nicely. They were very abrasive. That's what they said. So we... That's what they said, they just can't get along with it. We heard that from a lot of plants. So when you hear that from a plant, right away a red light goes on and says, that's not really the thing. They're just saying that. They're making drishot that they don't want to keep, and they think we're going to give them something else. So we told them, listen, whatever drishot the OU wanted from you, we're not going to change the kibbutzim. I don't know, maybe more machmir. So if the reason is because of kashrus, forget about it. You're going to give them up and you're not going to get on.
They so talk to you.
What?
They approached you.
Yeah. Yeah, they never approach you. Never to approach another thing to take away. It's not like a neighbor. So he, what's the call?
I mean, it wasn't after they'd already canceled
the line. No. They came first. Well, they had it. They were looking to change. They weren't going to give up the OU, not knowing they had something else to do. And we told them, you have the OU. Yeah, what's wrong with the OU? So they told us this, and we already assumed that it wasn't that. We called the OU and asked them what, you know. And but the Reuben said right away, you know, they're going to try to give them more coolers, and they're not going to want to keep this and want to keep this, and we're very mocked on them or whatever, and they think they're going to get away with you or whatever. It wasn't true. Every single thing we asked for, everything that the OU was mocked on, we're mocked on. There's nothing different.
The Reuben's OU?
He's the representative of the OU.
But the in America, more people eat
chokhmah. Except for the meats, not meats. Everything but meats. It's the same. Anybody who eats the OU eats the chokhmah and the OK. Those three are like the Iker Hashkochas. And now there's a big, better one, the Heinemann, Star K. That's much better in America. That's already a Feine Hershey, the Heinemann. But he's getting big also, so there's no problems. When he was small, it was very, very good. Now it's big, it's getting to be like the other ones. All of them have problems, but all of them are, they're decent hechsherim. They don't accept things that the other Rabbanut would accept, which are really problematic to us, like gelatins and things like that. They don't accept questionable hashgachas from Europe, people that are not, you know, known to be really reliable, which the Rabbanut here does accept, right? For instance, Piron, or this guy, what's it called, in Switzerland. I don't know who the other ones are, but there's different people the Rabbanut accepts.
Piron, they accept?
The Rabbanut, yes.
Schlesinger,
so
he's good. The fella. He gets every year 1,000 games.
Yeah?
My father wanted to visit.
Well, they don't accept, the Rabbanut doesn't accept his gear, there's just food. But the Leisner guy is not a... He's not supposed to be a very philosophical person.
No, my father wanted to visit him in Zurich a few months ago, and he told me if you're going to visit him, it will be the last time you can come to visit the ERG, the Yiddish community in Switzerland. His mom is a father. Every year, more than 1,000 dirham you get. They come from whole Europe and come to him.
Yeah.
That's his parnasa. Two gigantic heavy metal things, and just the circle of flame is over. So both things, Ramashara, and then that way the heat is distributed over the whole thing. So you can pass all over the place. That's just directly on here. This thing, you want to get the kasher in, what you have to do is use a blowtorch on these, because this gets mamish, what's it called, mamish ala eish. Things over whatever onto the thing.
It must have been, you can see from the discoloration.
Right. These things need to be blowtorched.
But this is on the fire.
So these things you aim the blowtorch tray, and you have to kasher it. You have to blowtorch these, and the runners up the door. It doesn't contact with anything, and there's no.
Things fall down.
Yeah, but it doesn't get burnt right away. So the ray after nothing. The burners have to worry about it. The blowtorch, and the rest of this is one of two things. Kash, but it only needs erishon, because nothing ever spills out. But that's very messy. It starts spilling water all over. Even though the truth is, when they kasher kitchens, they do that. And everything just is a mess on the floor, and then they clean it up afterwards. But the best thing to do with this, we're Salmech, anything that needs Hagolah, surely somebody only needs Irikurishon, right? We're Salmech on the Shita of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that if you do Yad Zoledes Bo with a Eish, right? In other words, you put what's it called a blowtorch on it, but not until it gets red. But not until it gets red. Just so it would be on the other side, Yad Zoledes Bo. So that would be enough just to put the blowtorch lightly around the end of the thing. Avada has to be cleaned first. This that's with Limbun Gomor need to be cleaned. Things when you summon on rectical, that's the lettuce will take the place of Hagala, there it has to be cleaned for it. And things when you summon on either Hagala or the actual lettuce bowl has to have 24 hours to be plugged. Because it's not, it gets burnt out. It's like it has to be pulled. Once it has to be pulled, it's what's it called? It's you need 24 hours. That's the same thing over here. This kind of oven, but these kind of ovens, this is the one over here. You may put the rack.
I see what they do. They put these
pans. These kind of pans, since if they're in a trace place, are used like here without any liquid. The baking pan, running liquid. Baking pans, you have like a little tray bread directly on it. You bake with tartars, with oil, tray for shortenings or whatever. These pans give Libun Gomor. Libun Gomor, usually if they're aluminum pans, right, you don't have to bother with them afterwards because they'll have melted. So you can put them back together on the other floor. So don't bother. Real baking pans in a bakery, what's it called? If you give them a Libun Gomor, it's first of all, you destroy them, warp them, and if they get warped, then that's no use to a baker anymore. So think if we don't kasher them, we tell people to get new ones. There is a shita. Remember when we kashered the bakery that had hundreds of these pans, and it was a tremendous expense. There's a shita, and I think we're stomach on that. The Chavke was stomach on that, I think we're kind of okay, that there's stomach on that. That if you resurface the pan, what it does, they send it back to the company, right? They put it in a kiln and resurface it. Then it's a hole. Right? First of all, it could be that it reaches Libum when it's back in the kiln. And the resurfacing anyway, it already becomes its new clea. Right, whatever's baloo in the first part is gone.
What do you mean the resurfacing? It's actually What did they do in the resurfacing?
They put down, it's like coverings. This is not the same thing. This is just a stainless steel pan. But there's a covering that goes on the two things, a metal and there's another metal on top of that. In these, what they're called? They're putting some baked bread on. Right? They're like baking pans, they're not like this stuff. These pashas are completely more. The only problem is they'll warp. With the racks. The racks need libum gomer, there's no shiloh. Okay, because the things are put directly on the racks in these ovens. It's not like in your house, you put only pots or whatever. They put mamish things on the racks, meats go on the racks, things go without any kli, and that's it. In a hotel or whatever, that was straight, you need mamish libum gomer on these things. There's another way of having libum gomer. That is to leave them.
Have any racks.
What?
These aren't any racks for
mine. But these are the racks.
You're referring to this.
Right? These are replacing the racks. Yeah. They don't have racks. They have mamish like this, only without the top. Mm-hmm. There's another way of having libum gomer without using a blowtorch. I mean, try to go blowtorch all each of these things. It'll take you hours to put them. They have ovens that don't have thermostats. You know, that don't have you can set it where the oven can go up higher.
Like self cleaning oven.
It's not self cleaning, but it's an industrial oven. It has a broiler on, the broiler part. So you leave the broiler part on. And you put it in there for quite a few hours, all the pot things together, what's it called? You put it up to the highest, sometimes they're mocked, but to put coals in it also. And then all of them become red at the same time. So it's a matter of 2-3 hours, but you don't have to do each thing. And you just put it in the oven, and that's possible. This is a small oven. So a gigantic oven in a hotel where they have a, what's it called? What it looks like is, there's an arm over here that lifts the thing that the tray sits on. You can put it down, you put it up towards the fire. You pull the stuff down and you lift it up towards the fire. You don't push it under the heat. So the fire can be on, you can add things and take things off without getting your hands burnt, right, too much. So they have this lever. So you put all the way down, put all these things on, and then you put the fire from beneath and above. Eventually, within 2-3 hours, everything will be glowing red. That's it. Now the oven itself,
it doesn't ruin the pot.
Mamish tray, what?
Doesn't it ruin the pot?
No, since the is evenly distributed, when you take a blowtorch, so I put this heat over here and this heat over here, right? Then the pot looks like it doesn't have a pot anymore, right? It looks like here it's bent and here it bends. Whenever you use a blowtorch, what happens when one place gets hot, here it snapped, right? It expands. The other part didn't expand, so then it's bent. You have already one bend, and you go on the other side, and then there's a bent over there, and a bent over here, and it's never straight. And places where they're mocked to bake, good thing, but quality in a pan like that, you'll never get quality. The heat's one will burn and the other one will be raw, and you do that in a place where the chef has one of those meat cleavers and he sees what he has pots. I don't want to be around him. This oven has an appetite. Sometimes with kosher things, hechsher that wasn't mahadrin, or in the States, a questionable hashgacha, and you want to do now a glot, right? Gevaint lo bagel, okay? That questionable, questionable things. Like, I'll give an example. Ralbach shortens, okay? Which no one except Ralbach and anything has a K or the other people. And nobody will use his hechsher. But if his things were used on lines or whatever, then either sometimes they don't have to kasher them. There'll be some on the fact also anyway grow to the new product. Since it's not trade, it's questionable. Right? You can't even say it's really a sophic, that the legitimate Yoredei is sophic. It's a pickpul, right? We're not somach on the guy. So that much me machmer to trafe up the kale because now we're not. They didn't need it.
We don't need it.
machshir it.
No, no, that's because, no, that's because they use gelatin to hold the mash tray. We hold it at Ezra's or Ezra. It's not pshat that we don't, we're both pshat because of the guy and maybe something's wrong. We know exactly what it is. Ezra's or Ezra. Right, we hold it now, then it's mash tray. Somebody holds okay, they hold okay, but there are Moshe, Elder, it's a Yotzim, that's something, and it doesn't, one of Hadosh doesn't help, so it's not much right.
But yes, there are things that have been very strange right here.
So, look, we'll call it, so that's the what to call it. That's the, so if it's something like that, then at least you could be Mako, Kasha the oven without using a blowtorch over the oven side. There's sins, there's the only recha, except for the wraps, and there's a sheet of Kabbalah Karpolto by these ovens, because of what's called of Reya. Right? Not an oven where mamash bake on the oven thing, it's only Reya. So that you could be selling Kabbalah Karpolto, it has to be cleaned out well and left on. Here's a difference of opinion. I personally hold different than Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu is medical in this. He holds you only have to leave it on until it reaches the highest temperature. And then you can turn it off. But see, once it reaches the highest temperature, that's it. The Mitzvah is not like that, I think. It's hard to say, because even though the Mitzvah is also Rabbeinu. But what I tell people is you have to leave it on for the highest temperature for the longest time that you ever use it, or it was used, what's it called? Because it's not really true that when it reaches 500, that's the air temperature. But the metal gets hotter and hotter. Metal gets more than 500. I don't know if it gets more than 500, but it doesn't get 500 right away. The metal takes a long time to heat up. So you don't know exactly when the metal was the hottest that it ever was. So it surely is the hottest that it ever was at the longest time it's ever used. And then it's as hot as it was at that time. Then it's called kapok. I never really studied, but it seems stubborn to me that it should be like that. Okay. And therefore, I'm not that it should be dafka, the longest time it was.
It's only worth when it's on mamash tray.
Right, when it's mamash tray. So going to a tray from hotel, like it's chaser in the oven.
So therefore, someone who can use hashemesh meat for milk for meat.
Right, that'll help for what's it called, bosso lecholov, and what's it called, and but it won't help for mamash tarifas. For mamash tarifas, most people are not somat on Kabbalah Karpolto. They're somat on for Pesach because it's a terrible. They're somat on for this because it's only a suffix anyway. But mamash tarifas, you have to take a blowtorch the whole thing. Or, you
have
to...
How long do you leave it on?
Well,
how long does the blowtorch have to be left on?
Good blowtorch, not so good. You don't have to see it get red hot. What you should do is shoot it in the dark. Not really in the dark. You should do it in a darker place where you can see. When it's dark, you can see it get red. The problem is that it's very hard to capture an oven like this with a blowtorch, right? In fact, it's impossible because you can't put your hand in there, right? How are you going to capture it? It's going to be so hot, you're going to burn your hand. You can't capture it. You have a handle or whatever that you can stand out here and do it. I don't ever saw a blowtorch like that. Never saw one. I don't know if they make it. Right? I never saw one. What you have to do with an oven like this, if you really want to kosher it, and we're talking about koshering it, not, you know, open on, we're talking about taking a tray full of kosher, otherwise not worth it. Just fill it up with coal, and then let it kosher, because the whole thing will become like you're not. Fill it with coal, and leave the coals burn for overnight. And then you'll kosher the oven. You don't have to turn the oven on.
How do you like the coals?
You like the coals with whatever, charcoal lighter or whatever, until they get hot. You can do it on the thing too. But the coals, and it's closed up, and sometimes what they do is they put like aluminum foil all around to hold the heat in, it'll get red hot. And that's the fastest way up the
You could do that.
You could do it with a blowtorch. And you don't have to have every spot red hot. Right? It has to be within every few inches. If it gets red, then in between, it already is. It doesn't mean it's red hot. It means that if you bang it, there'll be, what's it called, sparks will fly. That's before it gets red hot. You don't have to see it, it's glowing. You know it's glowing, so sure, okay. But if it blows here, in between the next spot where it glows, there's usually an area that's already been told to snitch a few inches around.
So it's about a few seconds of each spot.
It depends how it's stung. In an oven like this, it's just a few seconds. But this is a very thick wall, right? So as you get going, what's it called? As you get going, it gets easier because it's heating up more and more. But in the beginning, it takes quite a while until it gets red because of the thickening of the metal. This, in about 10 seconds, will be red in the dark because it conducts the heat very well. It's very thin and it's not, it's the stainless steel. This concussion is in a minute, right? But yeah, we will, if you know what a blowtorch. But if you put it in the oven, or you put it on coals in the oven, you have a lot of these, one after the other, they'll get red hot very fast. And not only that, you'll know that they're red hot, they change colors. These look like they're a blowtorch at some point. They turn this kind of color. They turn like a copper color instead of the metal color than that.
The coldest method sounds like it would probably be the best method.
It is. How often? The only problem with the coal is it's very dirty. Because once you have the coals finished, you have to get all that aper out of the oven, right? Nobody likes to have all that aper remain in their ovens either. You're dealing with people, first of all, who are mostly goyim, right? Who probably could take you and put you in one of those incinerators, and they would like to. Because you walk into a chef's kitchen in a hotel, right? That's his palace. This is the guy's, you know, and you start to put coals in his oven, whatever. And then who's going to clean it out? And if you start washing it out, it gets black and it's worse. You have to know also the, like you said, you know, public relations. You're up to take the whole oven, you know, and I don't know, put some kind of, you know, plate thrower in it, but you're going to kill the whole kitchen. I know people wash their kitchens, and all of a sudden they realize that they didn't clean off the oil from behind them. There's fat traps in the kitchen. If they don't do that, and you start washing the blowtorches, all of a sudden the whole kitchen is on fire. And mamish, though, from the wall, the fire. The guy was afraid to know what to do, right? So he went out to the chef and said, I think there's a little problem in the kitchen.
There's no method of spraying a new surface on the
The same thing is applied by domestic oven.
What? Domestic oven, which is regular size, not a toaster oven. Yeah. Where it's a terubola, that's what this is. The people of Machmer only to kasher with a blowtorch or make an insert, like Pesach. A terubola, I know my Rosh Shiva and the Moshe holds like that, you know, sure as Talmidim held like that, you're going to be kasher with the Kibola Kabolta.
Meaning turning it on for an hour. Right.
They hold that even the racks, since in your oven at home, you don't cook directly on the racks. You cook in pots. So even the racks you can kasher that. I hold not like that. Because the mitzvah is, you have a pizza sometimes, you have what's called bread, you want to put on the rack, you want to heat up some bread or whatever in the oven. There are a lot of things that a woman puts on the rack, like lav davka, so most of the time you put down some aluminum foil or something, but lav davka. So the racks I hold need legal, even for Pesach. Or in a self-cleaning oven.
The domestic ovens you have, the top or bottom very often, you have the elements there, as well as the thermostat.
Yeah, you don't have to kasher with a blowtorch, it's no problem. All you have to do is leave it on for the highest heat.
What if it's pressure first?
If what?
Suddenly some new cleaner comes along and they've been eating lettuce and crabs and all sorts and they want to kasher the kitchen.
Kasher from Mama's tray? The rest of the oven you kasher, not the rats. Because there's also only reich.
By domestic oven, because here
they don't cook on the racks all the time.
No, what I'm saying is at the oven.
That I'm saying, because they put it mamash on the carcass of the oven.
So maybe it should be a difference between the bottom of the oven and the walls of the oven. And
once it's bole, it's all connected.
So you don't need
an oven in a house.
Yeah.
If it's the kind of oven that's an electric oven, you'll never kasher a voltage. You'll destroy it.
They're understanding me somewhere.
That it's only Reicha. Even
if I always go around with a blood push.
What?
If I always go around and catch with a blood push.
Okay. It's not I can't massacre the kasher a electric oven properly with a blowtorch. Either destroy it or then I use a blowtorch. Self-cleaning is not a problem. Not continuous cleaning. Self-cleaning is plashtus, is at least libun kal. May not be libun gom, but it's libun kal. And that also could be somechan more than kabbalah kapolto for the signs. For the racks, for Pesach, it's a shayla bola with somachim for the racks. That. But for Mamash Trey, you shouldn't put the racks in the self-cleaning oven. It's not even going. Pashtas. Depends how thick the racks are. If they are better to have it, better blow.
So according to the movie,
right. Right. Because they're also only in the ring.
But it seems to be
that
people
need faith in the rat. The whole Qumrah on Pesach, I shouldn't say it or something like that. It's just a
basic, well, not really, because there's some sheep as a whole that you don't say Kabbalah Kapolta, you're going to rape it. That if it was used, what's it called? Alva Eish Mamish, that you need Mamish Leib. But if you look at any svarim, what's it called, from Shulchan Aruch on, tandoorim, right, need libel. Except our tandoor is not really like those tandoorim.
If
you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it says tandoorim is libel.
For a domestic cattle, when you might see a domestic cattle, you don't use the cattle in the fall.
Right.
So, what's the stomach even for Pesach?
Yeah.
So why are people like this?
And so there are plenty of balabatim. I mean, in most shuls or whatever, in America, they tell them they can use the keter kabbalah kapol. It's only machmirim who use inserts. I tell balabatim like this. There are a few ways to kashir oven. Okay? The ideal way is to use a blowtorch or to make an insert. And since the blowtorch is impossible, the insert, because clean it out well, and then make an insert. However, if it's impossible for you or it's difficult for you, whatever, you can be somech on the Kabbalah Kapolta.
What
about
the tiles? Especially around the
They don't have tiles around the oven. They have the tiles here. And then the pots come mamish to the metal back. You have to blow towards the metal back. And there's usually a shelf above it where they put things. The steam goes up to there. That also has to be kosher. That could be kosher with irut. It's only steam.
And you have irut going back.
You can't. So therefore, what you do is use the blowtorch to actually let it blow underneath here. But there's more of a problem. And that is cleaning. Right? Because it's full of fat. Mamish layers. So there, the best thing to do is to pass your mamash or blowtorch until it's red hot, and that cleans it. Once it's red hot, you're not going
to clean it. But I think what's sort of exactly what word that easy off has the skin of...
But
it's more than that. It's mamash... I don't think it really has been more than you have, like a dinner of blowtorch. Even
that kashers it?
Because it's such a strong...
Yeah, but that's only natural layer. Uh-huh. It'll only take out the be'en, right? For the be'en, it'll take it off. Well, in other words, right? But for the bria, the part should be off. Never anybody wants an easy or any of these things help the bria. You still need a kasher. But for the be'en, if you put that on, then the be'en is not considered be'en anymore. It's pogum, and then you can mistama kasher it, even with leaving cow, without having to clean it off tremendously. You have to know how much so if you have to put on. I mean, it's really stark. I mean, you know, these things I like is that layers of grease
I don't care.
See, they have different flavors.
Okay, the sinks are all the same. They're all the same. Sinks, these tables have all the irud. Take boiling water and pour it over. You don't need anything more, meikar at the end. But in some places, they're machmir to put, what's it called? Hot nail. Hot nipple. Or hot stone. Stones are hard. You put nipple and heat them up because the stones take far so longer to heat up. Stones usually, when you heat them up, explode. So you end up getting little pieces in your eye. There's no Indian to use stones. It's just that you have pieces of metal to heat up. So pieces of metal heat better. They stay hotter. And the issue is that because sometimes the thing that spills is master sayach on the spot.
Okay.
Nothing spills. That usually doesn't help that much. I mean, that would be the same thing as taking a grinder and doing it yatzel lettuce. Wherever you need iru, that's enough. Yatzel
lettuce.
Yes. That's okay. All you need is iru cremation. It doesn't have to be rosé. That's the iru cremation. Once it's cremation, that was our age, right? We assume that's the same thing that whatever spill on here. But sin, sometimes it spills. Mamash, Roseyaf, you want it to be the highest thing. But you really don't need that. You just need irrecleration.
Put a home of that. That's
also, but then there's the hole in your hand. Put the barzelim over the thing, and then put it. So whatever hits the thing, whatever goes around, gets directly from the thing. You don't have to... They stay hot for quite a while. Right, it's the hot enough to boil the water for 15-20 minutes. You just leave it by itself. Right, even sometimes after that. You heat them red hot on the stove, a piece of metal, right, it'll stay hot for 15 minutes, at least.
You can't just move the same piece around?
Once you put the water on it, right, within a few seconds, it's cool already.
What's the
size
of the metal? It's not going to
be get up a little bar, a little piece of metal, whatever. So here, what you have to do is clean it off well. Right? It depends what it comes in contact with. Nothing really is, once it's clean, it's tricalent. It's not bolea or anything, but there's nothing but a batir.
Now, when you call a simple chatechat basar kham,
it's
a chon in gore batir, it's not true.
Ah, and that's possible, unless you're putting hot meat exactly over here, not the pot.
You
have to get the cover with aluminum foil.
If you have to make it,
It's carrots. They don't have this. In a regular kitchen, they have stainless steel on the side, like this, guard.
Now, what do you have to do?
Whatever comes out is polite, niflet from the this thing. Kapat also, you don't have to kasher dafka the outside, right? You put the boiling water inside. So whatever niflet is niflet, you don't have to put the whole pot in the water. You can, but you don't have to.
What do they do with this?
Okay, I think this kind of pot, this is an aluminum pot. What you have to do with this, in this pot, if you do it with a brander, you're gonna ruin it. It's not stainless steel, it's a cheap pot. What you have to do is, this part you have to do with a blowtorch, like the brander, to get up the band. Because not shy, you can see it here, not shy to clean it. The only way to get out is to do with a blowtorch. And that has to be, basically, in this area, a libun kal, kashin isrif, is it okay? Because basically you're only doing it to get out the end. So anything kashin isrif will be sorry, the what's it called? You don't have to do it mamash libun gomer. But the truth is, if you hold a blowtorch on this, and this is, I think it's a little, maybe not, maybe it's stainless steel, it's just thin stainless steel. If it's stainless steel, it won't be a problem. As long as you don't hold a blowtorch too long in one place. Though too long, you know, after it gets red hot, you'll burn a hole through it. But if not, this will, everything will start oozing out of it, and it'll burn up on both ends, right? From the inside is the best, right over here, and then it just oozes out of it and burns everything out, right? And then the best thing then to do is to follow it down, because if it oozed out, when it was what they call mamash hat, and was nivlin to here also, and you don't get it off. So you get off the whole thing, till it doesn't have to be off completely. It doesn't have to be. It's once it's burnt, it's burnt. Right? It can still be a zecher of the thing. And then what the kasha would have gone.
You put on water till it's
put in hot water, or what they most of the time what they do is they take a pot like that, or a soup tureen. They ever seen a hotel? They have these gigantic things that they stand on the floor. No. It has a gazal, but it's only have to mix the soup. But it's made for soup. It has a top that it picks up, and on the outside is a steam jacket. And they heat up with steam. So what they do is they kasha that first, and then they boil the water in that, and they put all these pans.
Is it going to be a you could also do by filling up with water and then putting something in.
But you don't realize how many burners you need if you're going to have to kasha 100 pots.
But the first one you could do like that if you couldn't do it.
But we're going to put in here. Right, we're talking now about a gigantic thing where you could walk in. Yeah, you could walk into it.
Yes. And then you could pull it out.
No, what they do with those is they boil up the water inside it. Right, with its own steam jacket till it boils over the top. They put some hot things. They kasher the top of it with a blowtorch or whatever. What's it called? Because the top really doesn't go into the water. That's shy. So they kasher that with a blowtorch and the places where it's connected. And then you have something to kasher. And that's already gishmak. That's going to put in 50 pots at a time into that gigantic thing. And this is something you could walk into.
How do they get them out?
They put them on a string or whatever, or in a big net, and they put them in, one after the other, drop them down, take out 10, put another 10 in or whatever. That's Bechai.
Well, once you've burned this off, do you have to wait 24 hours?
No. Anything that you capture with libum doesn't need 24 hours Bechai.
But you said if it runs down there.
Yeah, that's not the whatever's running problem. Down Pasha's burnt or it's pogum already for sure. That's
okay.
אבל אני מניח, מרפא את היד שלושה פעמים, זה נקרא, לא צריכים להסיר את זה מהמים. זאת אומרת שיש חצית, וכאילו זה לא מנהל לא
מים. אותו עניין, סליחון של שבירה, אותו עניין.
Even if you're holding it tight, and the water in your hand, yeah, that's the same thing. That's just the way women who have to hold somebody else, that's a bit of a
hand. Shaft in the back, take it, roughly helps.
Roughly, if the water gets in, for sure, shaft is what's rough. Put your hand anyways in the water shaft.
You have to damp it before you grab the keg, you put it in.
And then you have, and it doesn't make a difference, and you don't have to damper in the mikveh. It's just be wet, because of any water will be
in the
mikveh.
Right,
no, it'll be a shock anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, in any case, this you cash will be the same thing. The sink, the same thing. Right, you don't have to, you just pour boiling water with the sink,
it's better to have what's called stones in it or whatever. But mikratim, you don't have to have. Mikratim, the yuru is enough without stones.
Stones
or metal or whatever. Just because the case in that place, it was mamash roasting. More than just the yuru. But the pashas were not for this. It sinks bechlal, milk explosions or whatever, Ramosha's makel that it doesn't trade up because it's not that's not the mafli, the mafliya ka'achas, but we're talking about trade now, we're talking about trade kitchens, that for sure needs to be kasha. That's over poster and collar, talking about mamish tarfas, you have to kasha.
What about the outlets?
What are the outlets? I mean, these
some of the outlets come out,
just the ili. Same yuri that helps, and parts just the yuri on this too.
You don't have to take the outlet pressure to get the outlets out and then we'll move to the pass. In case everything comes back up again.
And things like cutting boards, they should buy new ones. And the
cutting boards have to be new. Knives, if they're two pieces, have to be new. Especially in places that, what's it called, that you're going to want to do, they have a big chopping block. It's not a board, they go up and buy another one at a 10 store, right? There's a gigantic thing that sits in the middle of the thing and they chop on that. They don't put them over a board, right? So they go tell the guy, well, we've got to go buy a new one. They can't. So what you can do is sand it down.
How much?
Until you don't see any more zecher of shamunis. It's new, it's like new. At that point, that's okay.
Then you could still let you see knife marks. It looks like the color.
You don't see any knife marks.
How do you know? How do
you know? You take off, you would see the machine.
When we're shipping.
Yeah. Machine. I mean, you can use a plane too, but you know, they're all day. There's electric planes, there's electric sanders. And that works, right? And so then you can make Uri on that. Because it was a bleeder. Beyond that, yeah, they make Uri on wood, you can make Uri.
It's like a big clipper.
Yeah, that's right. Taking off, it's more than a clipper. Because the truth is, because of the knife and everything, it goes more than a clipper. You say, well, more than a clipper, but it's not a tremendous amount. I think that's going to come down there.
You can
do that much, or can he say, by the way,
you can buy a new piece of wood.
Just put on the top.